You have no idea how much joy that brought to my heart, knowing you were all talking about me and how you relate to me. And when we talk over this weekend, I just am excited to hear about who you are. Psalm 139 is like one of my favorite passages in Scripture. If you've not spent time there, I encourage you to spend time there this week. The first part is incredible, where it talks about how the Lord searches us and he knows us, and there's nowhere we can go from his Spirit. He hems us in behind and before. It's just powerful. And then there's, of course, that part 13 through 16 at the end where David is talking, saying, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that all of you are so uniquely different and how we're all different, and yet God has called us to such a similar ministry with students. But then verse 16, you guys, says, all my days were ordained for me and written in your book before one of them came to be. So that translation is, you are supposed to be here this weekend. Do you understand that? It is not because someone convinced you or you thought it was a good idea. It is because God's hand has brought you here. And I love to say to my kids, he's not going to waste it. He's not going to waste it, but we can, right? We can miss it. But I just challenge you, and I've heard it from others, from Todd and from Drew, like, just lean in and say, Lord, what do you want to show me? And then how cool would it be if when you leave here on Wednesday, you can identify why God had you here? So, Lord, it's with that prayerful spirit that we open our hearts tonight to you and what it is you want to show us from your word. Lord, I thank you for the gift of Christian community. I thank you for the call into ministry with teenagers. And I thank you, Lord, that each of us is in this room and you love us simply because you love us, not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we could ever do. And so, God, it's with that gratitude that we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a doer. I'm a mover. I'm a shaker. If you're into the personality inventories like me, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram with a 7 wing. I'm an ESFJ on the Myers-Briggs. In my strengths finders, communication, woo, positivity, developer, and activator. I just like to go, go, go. There's actually a Winnie the Pooh inventory, if you didn't know it. And of course, I'm a Tigger. I did not even try to throw it. It's just what happened when I took it online. So that translates in life to that I don't dwell very well. I don't settle in very well. I don't pause very well. And it's been that way my whole life. I mean, I remember when I was 4 years old and all my brothers and sisters would be getting ready in the morning to go out of our house and to get on this big yellow bus. And I'd be eating my Fruity Pebbles and I'd like perch myself on the window and watch them get into the on the bus. And I was like, oh, I want to be on that bus. And then I got to kindergarten and I got to get on that bus. And it was so amazing. And I went to half day kindergarten at the time and I got to take a nap on a little square and I got to have a milk break and I had a teacher. But then I found out that my sister Faith was in second grade. And she got to go to school all day. And she didn't have to take a nap. And she didn't just have milk break. She had hot lunch. And I was like, I want to be in second grade. And then I got there. And it was amazing. Until my sister was in middle school. And then I found out she got to go to activity nights where she got to dance with boys. And she had a locker. And she had gym class. And I was like, I want to be in middle school. And then I got there. And it was amazing. But my sister was in high school. And she got to work at Hardee's. And she got to wear brown polyester. And she got to drive a car. And she got to wear a letter jacket. And I was like, oh, I want to be in high school. And then I got there. I was a ninth grader. She was a senior. It was so fun. But then she went to Bethel University. And I went to go visit her. And she got to go to the mall at like 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. And she had a roommate. And she had this magical car to go to the dining center and get whatever she wanted. And I was like, ah, I want to be in college. Do you sense a pattern? Do you sense a trend in my life? And certainly some of it is related to my personality, but I think mostly it's a human condition. I think we all have a hard time being where we are and not wanting to be somewhere else, concerned about the next step, concerned about what the next season, maybe even for some of us, waiting for that next shoe to drop. And I had an experience that really solidified that for me when I was in late high school. I don't know how many of you have camping ministry as part of your story, but it's a huge part of my story. I started going to Trout Lake Camp in northern Minnesota when I was in the third grade. I went every summer, and then as soon as I could volunteer, I started volunteering. I worked there every summer in my college years. It's where God called me into ministry. It was powerful. But in particular, I was there one summer before, in between my junior and senior year of high school, and I worked for like 4 weeks in a row. And we had tag time, time alone with God every day, and we had to go find somewhere quiet, which I don't like to be quiet and I don't like to be still, but I was trying to be a good leader. And so I went down to the boat docks, and me and God had a really rough conversation. Because I basically wanted to be married since I was like four. I'm highly relational in my nature. And what I understood of marriage is that somebody was with you all the time. And I was like, yes, I want that. And so I had a really good run through like the fifth grade. Okay, there was a different boy in every class that was like, Heather, like you're hot. And it was really awesome. But then something shifted in about fifth grade. And basically through junior high and high school and many years beyond, there was never anybody that looked at me and said, I like you and I want to get to know you. And in particular that summer, my friend Shelly, who literally people would come up to her at the mall and be like, are you a model? That's the kind of friend I had. Shelly had seven boys at one time that wanted to go out with her. And during, you know, the late 80s, it was never like text them or something. It would like call their girlfriends. So they would call me and I'd be like, hi, Mike. And he'd be like, hey, do you think Shelly would go out with me? And I was like, oh, like it was just so hard and so painful. So there I was. I'm a 17-year-old girl. I'm at the end of the dock. And I just say, Lord, I am so mad. Like, I am trying to do everything that you ask me to do. You know, I don't swear, I don't drink, I'm respectful to my teachers, I don't have sex. I didn't have a lot of opportunity, I know, but I'm not having sex. And the one thing I want, you're not giving me. So then I did that thing, you guys. I said, Lord, speak to me. Now, let me warn you, if you choose to do this, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up in Leviticus. And your finger is going to point to, and the priest cut the calf and smeared the blood on the altar. And you're going to be like, Lord? But you guys, God was so gracious to me in that moment. Little 17-year-old girl, my finger literally ended up in between Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. And I don't even have to look it up in my Bible because they have been cemented in my heart. Psalm 37, 3 and 4 is where my finger ended up. And it simply says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we love verse number 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? And we're happy to tell him what our desires are. But friends, verse 4 is dependent on verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. I'm a very visual person, and the Lord gave me a visual that day. Because, you know, David wrote this psalm, and David is a shepherd, right? And I don't know how much you know about shepherding, but during the time it was as common as being a teacher or being a nurse. But the shepherd's primary goal was the protection of his sheep. And when he was down in the village or down in the communal area, all of the shepherds would have this communal pen that was built that they would put their sheep in. So they would call their sheep in, and then they would help each other to watch their sheep throughout the night. But the majority of time, the shepherds were up in the mountains, up in the hills, with their own flocks. And so I've done research on this, and it's just fascinating that the shepherds would create their own makeshift pen. And so they'd use rocks and boulders and brush, and they would make a pen, and they would leave an opening. And then they would, scripture tells us that they knew their sheep by name and the sheep knew their voice. They would call their sheep into the pasture and then they would be safe within that space. But then here's the crazy part that I never knew. Before nighttime or sleep time, the shepherd would then lay his body in front of the gate in which the sheep had come and gone. He would literally lay his life down for the protection of his sheep. And if you know anything about John 10 and Jesus talking about how he's the good shepherd and he's the gate and he will lay down his life, that's what the shepherd would do. And so God gave me this picture of Heather. I have you in this pasture. I have you in this space. And I know you don't like it. But this is where I have you. And I just want you to trust me and to do some good while you're here. And I promise I'm going to take care of you. And it was so powerful to me. I learned later that the word dwell was also used back during the time when the Israelites were moving from Egypt to the Promised Land. And when that word was used, it meant that they were supposed to stop and set up camp. So not just like pause and like, hey, Lord, good job, and keep moving, but literally they were supposed to set up camp and stay, dwell, until the Lord then showed them that they were to move again. And like I said at the beginning, I am not good at dwelling. So if you call this my singleness pasture that I was in, I was in it for a couple of years, friends. All of high school, 4 years of college, and 4 years beyond college. There was never anybody who said, I like you and I want to be with you. And I remember, if I'm thinking about a pasture setting, there were times I was like plastered up against my fence, right? Looking into everybody else's pastures and comparing and contrasting. Well, what about hers? And I want to be there and I wish I was there. There were other times, if I'm honest, that I was down on my hands and knees and I was trying to dig out from underneath that fence, thinking that the God of the universe needed my help. My sophomore year at Bethel College, I had met a wonderful young man, and he had not yet been told that he was to marry me. And so I thought, I need to help him with that. So no lie. One day, I went down to the registrar's office. For those of you who are young, we didn't have anything in any kind of portal. There was a room you had to go to, and there was this big paper stack of all of your class assignments. And they had a big book in there in case you forgot what your list was and you needed a reminder. So I went into the registrar's office, and I remember I know the ladies well there because they hand out suckers. And so I was like, hi, ladies, I'm just going to check the schedule over here. So I went to this large schedule. And I flipped right past my name, and I kept going to this young man's name. And I took a piece of scrap paper and literally wrote down every classroom, every time, and every position he would be at for the next 3 months. And then I just randomly showed up there. So he'd come out of the CLC 212 class, and I'd be sitting in the lounge reading a magazine. He'd be like, Heather, shut up, what are you doing here? And I'm like, shut up, what are you doing here? I mean, what are the chances? Friends, 3 months, I'm not being dramatic. I would place myself, and you're probably, let me just spare you, it didn't work out. Okay, he didn't see me as the one that he should marry, but I imagined myself down on my knees digging out, and the Lord was just so kind to me. I bet when I was 23, I was working at Wooddale, I had just started, and I was plastered up against my fence, and I remember in my spirit hearing God say, Heather, just turn around. Because I was like, I have all this love in my heart and I have nobody to give it to. Turn around. And when I turned around, I saw all these amazing junior hires that wanted my attention and love me. I saw all my family. I saw this great group of friends that I had a Bible study with. I was playing softball with my sisters in a league, like all of these things. And God was just like, look at this is what I have for you. And when you're plastered up, you're missing everything. Everything is behind you. This is where I have you. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So friends, my big question for you tonight as we start this time and move into it together is, what does your pasture look like? Where is it that God has you today? I've asked the camp to put these pieces of scrap paper on your table, and I would love for all of you to grab one. Remember, you have come to engage, and I believe that you are going to. We've got to make this real, and because God is both powerful and he is personal, these verses relate to you just as much as to me. So what I'd like for you to do, and give me a second to explain it, and then I'll have you do it, is I'm going to have you draw your pasture. I'm going to have you draw an enclosure, okay? And you guys can, I'll let you know when to come up. Good, we're good. You can do like a picket fence if you want to. You could do a log fence. Just don't do a barbed wire fence because that's a little deep for tonight. But I want you to put an enclosure, and then I'd love for you to take words and phrases and write them around the outside of that enclosure that describe your current pasture. Now, I got a little dramatic and said it was my singleness pasture, okay? But the truth is, all of our pastures are made up of a mix of things, right? I mean, right now, if I were to write words and phrases, I'm really living in a sweet spot of ministry, friends. When you've been in it 32 years, you don't do much out of obligation anymore. You kind of know what you're doing, and in your, you feel God's strength and power. It's beautiful. But then right next to it, I've got a sister that's currently struggling with mental health. And she's saying awful, awful things about me and who I am and my character that are not true. And it sucks. I'm 51 now. So guess what? I had a full knee replacement surgery 3 months ago that I would put knee replacement around my pasture because I'm having to do exercises on a daily basis that I don't like to do that bring me to the point of almost swearing. And then I have to confess, and this is the whole cycle, right? So I would want you to write words or phrases around that describe your current life. And then, friends, I want you to place yourself in the middle of your pasture. Or I should say, where you think you are in your pasture. Maybe you are plastered up against a fence like I was. Maybe you're on your knees trying to dig yourself out. Maybe you're in the corner pouting. Maybe you are in the middle. Maybe you're at the gate trying to push it open. Where would you place yourself in regards to how satisfied are you to be content in the dwelling place where God has you now? I want to warn you, especially you introverts, I live with one, by the way, I'm going to ask you to share a little bit about your pasture. You don't even have to show it. It might even be something like, I discovered this as I was writing it, or you could be as descriptive as you want, but I think there's a beauty in us sharing, too, and letting us know that we're not alone, okay? But first, it's about you and your pasture. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to design your own pasture with some words and phrases around it. Go ahead. Maybe you've got aging parents. Maybe you're about to send your firstborn off to college. You found yourself unemployed. You've had a loss and you're walking through grief. Maybe you're the healthiest you've been in your whole adult life. You've been dropping some weight and working out. What is it that would describe your pasture? Now, you get to choose your level of vulnerability, but I want everyone to share at least one thing that they noticed, one observation, or one thing that they wrote concerning their pasture with one person next to you. I assume you know their name, but if you don't, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then just share anything that you feel comfortable sharing. I'll give you about 2 minutes to do that total, okay? Go ahead, and band, you can make your way back up if you'd like. How awesome that we have a whole weekend to continue to share. New friends in the room, I don't know where you are. I don't know your story. I'm excited to get to know some of your stories. But here's what I do know, that God knows right where you are. not only does he know where you are, it's where he has you. He sees you. He is working. Even if you can't see it, he's working. And the only thing he's asking you to do while he has you there, two things. Trust him and do some good. And when I realized that that's what God wanted me to do, I was like, okay, Lord, you have been faithful to me. And I'm going to trust that this thing that means so much to me, you will continue to be faithful. I told you I wanted to be married when I was 4. I married my husband, Chad, when I was 28. A little bit of a delay. You know, and of course I was at a Christian school, ring by spring. You know, if you can't find your husband at the Christian school, where are you going to find him? And I mean, it just, it had nothing to do with my plan. But I tell you that when it comes time for you to leave that pasture, God will make it clear. And he will open that gate and say, now it is time. Now it is safe. And I, as your shepherd, am saying, come to the next pasture. And I just trusted him on that. And I will tell you, on May 11th, 2001, when Chad and I got married, we got married at Wooddale Church, where we met because he came to volunteer in the junior high ministry. And by the way, just so you know how off the chart extrovert I am, there were 1,400 people at our wedding. Okay, it was an awesome day. So anywho, at Wooddale, they have everybody else go in and then they shut the door and then they poof the bride, you know. So they poof my train, and my dad was there with me and I was holding my lilacs and my roses. And I remember they opened the doors and Love Theme from St. Elmo's Fire by David Foster started playing. And I started walking, and friends, God was so gracious. When those doors opened, he was saying to me, Heather, this is the time. And those gates were opening for me. And I remember thinking, I am just not walking through these gates. I am like strutting through these gates, because I have zero regret of what's behind me. I have overturned every blade of grass in that pasture where he had me. So it wasn't just the guy who was at the end of the aisle that I was strutting toward. It was a confidence knowing that I had trusted and I had done good, and God was faithful. And so as we enter into this last song, I just want you to claim that faithfulness of the Lord no matter where you are. And I pray that you're willing to say, I commit, God, to trust you and to dwell here, to stick here for a while. And the best space, I can tell you, is right in the middle of that pasture. Not on the edge, not on the side, not hanging over the gate, right in the middle. So, Father, it's with that spirit that we come. May you now, God, take this powerful image and this powerful word that David wrote, and would you make it beautifully personal because of the gift of your Holy Spirit. We give ourselves to you now.